Here with me, Stephanie Dombra. We wanted to know, he talked about a thing called the desert wind. He said there's a desert wind that is also called the Santa Anas that kind of will whisk through, and somehow the result of the desert wind whisking through is people get more irritable. Kind of an interesting thing. It reminded me of Le Mistral in France, in the south of France. You know, there's a funny thing about the south of France. It's almost always good weather in the south of France. And they account that to Le Mistral. Le Mistral is a gust of wind that kind of sweeps through the south of France. And they claim it clears the air. Like the Santa Ana clears the air. So clinical reports, animal studies, they talk about the serotonin irritation syndrome, which seems to be the result of the ions changing in the atmosphere, affecting animals and people as well. Gee, are we that sensitive to the weather? Some people are. You've heard of SAD, you know, seasonal affective disorder, where people get depressed just because winter comes in and the shortness of light, the lightness of days kind of triggers this sadness that they feel, and they get depressed in the winter and they feel better in the summer. But how does weather hit us? And that's a question. And is our irritability based on the weather, or what is irritability? You know, what is it? Just what is that darn thing? What does it mean when a person says, I'm irritable? When they sit in front of you and you know them, and they're just plain ready to be nasty, ready to be triggered, easy to fire, and blaming you for everything. You know, you, because it's really they are at their wit's end. And when they're at their wit's end, what is that about? What does it mean to be at your wit's end? When you see a friend who can't sit still, and you know that they're irritable, what's going on for them? Well, we've seen quite a bit of science about it. We understand that there are different things that could affect a person. They say there are menstrual moods. Moods could do it, right? Especially with women who are premenstrual or menopausal. There are shifts in the estrogen levels and serotonin levels. Now, let me get this straight. I got Stephanie here. I'm going to need your help with this, Stephanie. I know. Stephanie, estrogen is the hormone, right?
It's one.
Oh, where are you?
It's one of the hormones, yes. And men have these hormones too, but in much lesser degree and amounts. But yes, estrogen is clearly a very predominant hormone for women.
And when a woman is in their menstrual cycle, they lose estrogen?
Depends on the time of the month. If you're not in menopause, you have high estrogen the first 14 days, it's increasing. So women tend to say they're feeling better during that period of time. Then there's a precipitous drop with estrogen, and that can cause that phenomenon that we often talk about, premenstrual syndrome.
And that drop is like something happens to a person where they feel this kind of irritability, right? Now, what I was trying to ask about, Stephanie, is what makes the irritability work? Having been a researcher and having worked with nerves in my earlier years, I have some awareness of how nerves work. But we would say that irritability is an almost nervous condition. Don't you agree?
Well, there's actually a root. Irritable has to do with the reaction to stimuli. There's something related to nerve function with that word irritable. So there's something in there about what goes on in the nerves that causes us to respond to stimuli and being excited.
So it's the way we respond. Sometimes we're hyper excited And sometimes, you know, one of the beautiful things about older men is, like, you know, you kind of talk to them and you can talk to them about a disaster that's happening, and they will generally say, or older women too, yeah, take it easy, take it easy. They're not so irritable. They're not so triggered. Maybe their metabolism got lowered, so their nerves are not so ready to fire. But here's what happens with irritability syndrome. Your nerves are much more ready to fire than normal. Now, we know about estrogen, and we know that drops in estrogen have with them a concomitant or associated drop in serotonin. Serotonin being a very important neurotransmitter, not a hormone. But what is a neurotransmitter? A neurotransmitter is, for the lack of better words and for the sake of simplicity, it's a chemical. It's a fluid. It's a thing that helps your nerves transmit. So it's like if you were to imagine a bunch of people with their fingers in a pool of water. And then you had like five people, so there would be 10 hands in the pool of water. And if the pool of water has a little bit of a normal valence to it, it's normal, everybody kind of just stays there. But if all of a sudden you raise the veil, you electrify the water, you shock the water, you know, everybody kind of jumps. Well, nerves are like that. They respond to the neurotransmitter. The neurotransmitter is the liquid that is holding there. So your neurotransmitter, in this case, in this particular case, serotonin, when it is present in abundance, your nerves are relaxed and you feel calmer. Are there any particular times that serotonin is higher than at other times? Like pregnant women, do they have higher serotonin or lower serotonin?
I'm not sure about that.
Because sometimes, you know, you see that beauty on the face of a woman who's pregnant, where they seem to have this incredible, like, angelic look.
Well, that's probably more of the hormones. There are such an abundance of the hormones going on during pregnancy. Certain estrogens, there's three different types of estrogens. There's an abundance of one of them, and then progesterone is high. So I would tend to think that, of course, if you have high estrogen, you may increase your serotonin. Like you said, there's a direct relationship with the two.
Good.
But I would say there's, you know, they have shown in different studies that women who are ovulating have radiant skin and look wonderful and look more beautiful, and men can pick that out without even being told that the woman is ovulating. So there's something about skin and radiance of skin and estrogen.
And calmer, you know, you're calmer too at that time. So there goes the correlation. So estrogen is one. We could say nervous. And my friends, if you ever want to understand PMS, you have to understand it from that place. There's a depletion. There's a depletion of ions. It's a depletion. It's like your nerves fire just more rapidly. So you, being nervous, and men get this way too, not just PMS women, but men get this way too, you can become hypersensitive.
There's an irritable male syndrome, they call it. I don't know how valuable that diagnosis is.
Well, we did a program on it, but what is it to you?
Similar kind of experiences, irritability, agitation, meanness, anger, and a lot of people experience that as well. So we have to be fair to both sexes here. Each person can experience both these things. We're all susceptible to irritability, I think. That's almost, sometimes I see, almost the norm for most people. It's the other ones that are always kind of happy and capable of just handling anything. And it's probably, again, something about the way that their nerves fire, so to speak, that things don't bother them as much. But most people, especially in New York City, it's really hard. There's a lot of external triggers. And if your internal chemistry isn't just right, it's going to be tough to not be irritable.
Well, it's funny. I see it differently. I see most people as being calm and not irritable, you know. But I get that the irritability begets and cites irritability as well. You could see it, because if you're irritable and you hear an irritable voice, you're going to feel irritable in response to it. You know, it's like how you respond to it. But how do you help? How do you understand somebody who's irritable and what do you understand? Well, here are some of the factors that affect irritability. Fatigue. If you think about the nervous system again, fatigue, you need, somehow, we need to be able to restore the chemicals necessary to keep our body in balance. Fatigue in the muscles can bring about a fatigue in the nervous system, which results in this hypersensitivity. Another one is if something, stressors that are on you, that are using up your energy, and you're keeping these stresses and you're working at the stresses, but your body is getting depleted by the moment. And of course, there's weather, as we said. I was talking to a friend earlier today who was talking about the cold, the icy cold. And she said, when it's icy cold out there and I'm walking out there and I'm getting on the subway, I feel like I'm just a bundle of nerves. It's not a condition I like. I don't like that condition. I don't like being like that. The reason I like the summer is I could kind of melt in the summer. Irritability. Are you irritable? Do you live with somebody irritable? Here's what I learned as a therapist. Invariably, and I'm saying this is 99% of the time, there is a very short distance between irritability and tears. It's so short, it's so close, that it would be, if a person would say they were highly irritable, if I could bring them to tears, if I, in my office, can bring them to tears, the irritability disappears. I had a friend of mine who would feel herself becoming irritable on a regular basis. She would go to the movies. She would go rent movies. And she said, I'd go rent the DVD that was the worst DVD possible. Her preference was Sophie's Choice. And she would get that and she would watch it and it would make her cry. And she would force herself into crying and her irritability would go away. But there are people who experience it who, without the therapy and without learning about it, just won't go there. It's like a war. It's like, no, I'm irritable. But why don't you cry? No, because I'm irritable. Leave me alone. But it's just inches away. The cure is within taste. It's within reach. Almost like there's got to be an investment in it. Almost like it has to get to a certain fever pitch. But, you know, there are people who are conscious and then there are people who aren't conscious. And usually the unconscious ones go in the path of maintaining it. But the trouble with it is how it affects the people around you. That irritability spills off. And even though we don't think it has it, when there's a man, when a man is irritable and he becomes a damaging man, he drives spikes in a coffin. He will hurt people. He will say things. He will be nasty and he will be looked at and it will affect the future. People will feel badly about him. So I think if you're an irritable person, or if you're somebody who runs into it, you got a duty. You got to bring yourself to it. You got to bring yourself down, if you're conscious. Of course, if you're not conscious, and you're with somebody who is not conscious, it's just not easy. So we were curious about whether irritability came from the weather as well. In Germany, researchers decided to do a study. They had 1,200 people took part in a study, with the majority of them being women, ages 18 to 68. Right? Now, here's what they were asked. They collected weather data based on the participants' lives. They compared it to how each person felt and their mood was day to day. So the results were somewhat surprising. How do you think a person's mood was affected by the weather? Negative mood was impacted by temperature, wind, and sunlight. We knew that for sure. Lack of sunlight affected tiredness. Wind created a negative mood in the spring and summer, but not in the autumn and winter. What an interesting thought. Shorter days did affect some people's mood in a negative manner, while others felt it more positive, so there was no difference there. Rainy days, lack of sunlight had an effect on people, and the people said on rainy days that they felt more tired. Now that's an interesting concept, because there you have a raise, you have a rise in the humidity. And how does that affect your mood? And I'm sure we're going to find that that is another factor. We're going to be taking your calls, by the way, today at 212-209-2900, talking about your irritability, how it is, when you get there, and what you do about it. The study did not take into account how often people were outdoors. As such, were limited, but the researchers did find people who felt a negative mood during shorter days, right? The people who could test themselves and say, you know, on days that are not as sunny, they have more potential for going through SAD, seasonal affective disorder. In a recent study, participants who spend time outdoors in moderate weather were more content than those who spent all day indoors. Now, this is an interesting thing about memory. Better memory scores when they ran tests comparing the two groups. Research has also proven that sunlight boosts your serotonin level by providing it with vitamin D. Vitamin D feeds serotonin. So the sunlight helps you. If you got a drop in serotonin, the sun itself, which could be one of the reasons why the beach is so often a blessing, or it feels like a blessing. You know, that sunlight seems to have magic. And there's a reason why people are sun worshippers. I don't think it's only because of the tan that they want, but there is something about the sun. I remember reading about women who wore burkas. Do you remember the study, Stephanie?
They're completely covered up in the Middle East, and they definitely have vitamin D deficiency, and they are depressed.
And there was a high level of depression among women who wear burkas.
The whole face is covered. They are not able to expose anything but their eyes. No, everything except their eyes.
And then what was happening is they would give birth to babies who were vitamin D deficient. Now, what would happen to babies who are vitamin D deficient?
I'm not sure about that part of the study, actually.
Yeah. But what they found was that you were having babies that were having certain deficiencies automatically, and they were it was having an impact on the babies. So the babies who were born of mothers with burkas tended to be not as bountiful as babies born who had a higher level of vitamin D. So they started introducing vitamin D in the form of pill form and injections to women who wore burkas, and they found the children were born with an adequate amount of vitamin D. Kind of amazing, isn't it? The winter blues is a common phenomenon among Americans. Many of you have affected it, but did you know that the weather also affects your memory? In a study conducted at the University of Michigan, the researchers divided participants into three groups. They either spend time indoors, spend time outside during unpleasant weather, or spend times outdoors in nice weather. The researchers discovered that mood and memory are affected by the weather. More specifically, people who spend time outdoors in 72-degree weather experience more pleasant mood and improved memory than those who spend time indoors or those who spend time outside during unpleasant weather. So 72 seems to be the level. Isn't that strange? 72. Why 72? You ever notice that your automobile, if you have an automobile, is set at 72 before air conditioning goes on? You drop below 72 and you get air conditioning. See, go above 72 and you get heat. But 72 is considered normal. Is the normal weather, and that's the normal perfect weather for humans. 72 degrees outdoors. Higher than that, not as perfect. Staying indoors when it's 72, not as perfect. Higher memory, better health, less irritability. So one of the things you got to do is get out there on the 72 degree days. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. What about your irritability, friends? Do you live with it? Do you feel it? Do you feel it to the point where you're just cranky? Are you cranky? You know, it's not nice to live with. Oh, sure, you love somebody who gets like that for one day. One day. I'm irritable. One day. If you love him, you see it, you leave it alone. Maybe if you love them, you see it, you say, hey, why don't you cry? But if they don't want to hear that, you leave them alone anyway. 212-209-2900. Want to take your calls talking about your irritability and the irritability of those you love. And also, I want to remind you that this is the last day I'll be mentioning it. We are continuing with our survey of your reactions to the program, The Positive Mind. We want to know about the subjects that we use. Are we covering what you like? We want to know about the music, and today I will be playing special music for you today. And I want to know about what you feel has happened to this program, how you value it, what it means to you. And if you dislike it and what you disagree with, and we've gotten a couple of good contributions from people who say there are certain things they don't like, and I like knowing that too. 212-209-2900, but if you have a response, send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, and I'll make sure it gets to the powers that be. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Maria.
Hello, Maria.
And, I know you're talking about irritability and weather, but what about irritability and fatigue? That's when I find my irritability setting in the most.
I think your phone is cutting in and out for me. Could you say it again? Irritability.
Fatigue.
Irritability with fatigue, yes.
Yeah.
I did mention that. Do you get that way when you get tired?
Definitely.
Is it always when you're tired?
I would, not only, but definitely always, if I'm tired and I have to deal with people, particularly kids, my irritability will set in, and it's hard to control.
When's the last time you went to a great party?
About a week ago.
And where was this great party?
It was actually an outside party. And it was, you know, in a park where you have the band and the music. And it was fun.
Okay, how late was it?
Till about 10.
About 10. Did you get tired around 10?
I didn't feel it. Yeah, I definitely felt it once I left.
Once you left. But while you were there, you were tired, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But you weren't irritable.
No.
See? Okay, so now we have another correlation. Irritability and tiredness go together, but not if you're having a good time.
If you're having a good time, yeah, that's true. It doesn't set in.
So there are people who could stay up all night. I heard of a party out in Connecticut that lasted till 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And people could have been irritable, but everybody was smiling. So it doesn't always work that way. It just means when you're tired, you get tired of being a caretaker. Now, you are a caretaker, right?
Yeah.
How many kids you got?
3.
Oh, my God, Maria. Maria, how did you do that? 3 children, what are their ages?
10, 8, and 6.
God bless you. 10, 8, and 6, and you got to keep an eye on them. You have to watch them. You have to take care of them.
Yeah.
Do you ever get tired of doing this?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't want them to grow up fast, but some days I just can't wait until they do get to the point where... So they get to the point where they're more self-sufficient.
Yeah, I certainly understand. And you have to watch for them all the time. You have to be like, you have to make sure they're safe.
Yeah,
all definitely. The time. It's a terrible thing. So there's a fatigue, you know, and that's the kind of fatigue. You're like a tired deer, you know. You're like a deer who wants to drink some water, but she's been taking care of all the baby deers, and you're tired, and you just... want to say, well, what do we have to stay on the alert all the time? And that's what motherhood is like at your level. It's like there's never a chance to really relax.
Right.
Now, do you and your... Is there a guy around?
Yes.
Okay, do you and he ever go off together anywhere?
By ourselves, not often, really at all. We've made attempts, but, you know, sparks.
What happens?
What happens?
Yeah, why can't you go away together?
We just usually don't follow through, and I guess, you know, we just get caught up in the day-to-day.
I could understand that completely, but, you know, it's one of the things that you owe the children. Somebody once asked me, what is the best gift he could give his daughter? And I said to him to love her mother. The best gift that you could give your children is to show that you and your husband, if you are connected and you feel connected, are really connected. To show them what loving is like. To show them that loving is not just about sacrificing affection with each other. To take time with each other and say to your children, children, I'm going to have you taken care of. Daddy and I are going off for 2 days. You know? And to show them that as a model of something that they could expect to have in the future themselves.
Right.
What do you think? You think you might relax for a couple of days? You can get his mother to watch them.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's possible.
What, wouldn't his mother be very happy to watch the kids? Well, how do you get along with her?
No, we get along well. I mean, she works a lot, so, you know, it's kind of hard for her to make that commitment. We definitely have babysitting options, I think. Someone in the family.
There's always somewhere in there. Maria, I want to thank you very much for
calling in.
Sure. And so remember, fatigue is always the kind of fatigue. Because when you're partying and you're fatigued, it doesn't seem to work as much. But if you're partying, if you're not partying and you're fatigued and you're fatigued from taking care of people over and over again, and you're worn out, and then you go home and then ma, and that word keeps coming after you. Hey, ma, and they knock on your door. And I'm talking on the phone. Ma, I need you. Well, that'll kind of weigh your nerves down.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's part of motherhood.
Thank you. And any tips you have would be appreciated.
Sure, Maria. I'll keep that in mind. Thank you for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. So we're seeing that irritability is situational as well. Because you could be irritable and be by the beach and, you know, you could be... I've had a moment, I remember a moment in my life when a fly ruined my vacation because I was irritable. And a mosquito, was trying to, you know, get me. And I let that disturb me so much I picked up and left what I was doing. That's because I was on the edge. I'm sure we all are sometimes. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, some lovely music for you. Yes, actual music. And then we'll continue our conversation. I'll be right back. Thank you. old friend Suzanne Ciani, C-I-A-N-I, from the album Neverland. Hope that kind of stretched some of the irritability out of you. Get a chance to relax for a minute, my friends. Now, there's the funny thing about it. You see, yoga is perfect. In many ways, yoga, by design, is perfection for irritability. Because it gets you to sit in one place and stretch your body at the same time and move it around, and it just seems to bring things in balance, the whole intent of it. I'm going to have to bring on a yoga mental health specialist to talk about this as well, because I think that's one of the ways that we get to beat it, through our minds, quiet down. Because you could tell when the chemicals are going out of whack. You could tell, I could tell it in me when I get irritable. I'm besides myself. And it's an interesting phrase, besides yourself, because I kind of look over on my right-hand side or my left-hand side, and there's another Armand there who's acting in ways that I just don't understand. And I say to myself, you're being nuts. You're being crazy. You're leaning on this when you don't have to lean on it. Back off. But at times I can't help myself. Just as I'm sure at times you can't help yourself. You're doing the best you can. But if we help ourselves as much as we can, meaning that if we maximize our consciousness, maybe we could do less damage to other people along the way. I wonder how many divorces, marriages break up over just this very issue. The lack of consciousness at irritable times. Every woman goes through menopause. Well, I don't know, is that true, Stephanie? Is that true? Every woman goes through it. 99.9% with a couple who may have escaped it for one or another reason. And during that period of time, for most people, it's going to be a stressful time. And there are going to be moments of unexplained irritability, dissatisfaction. Most men go through something similar. It looks like a midlife crisis, but it's something similar. I've seen men go through that as well. And they have this kind of feeling of irritability that has to be lived through as well. Now, here's what I think happens to couples in relationships after 7 years. I think after about 7 years, the irritability comes up and you get a choice. Are you going to get through it or are you going to quit? Most people just say, well, that's it, I'm done. And then there's those brave others who say, you know, really, maybe I'd like to make this work. So you get these cycles, 7 years and 7 years and 7 years. It's almost like you got to renew your relationship every 7 years. I remember when I was a kid, I heard this myth about Sweden. They said in Sweden, when you get married, every year or every 5 years, you have to send in a card to renew your marriage certificate. If you don't send it in, you're no longer married. Now, I believe that. I mean, somebody told me that story, so I believed it to be true and thought, what an ideal situation. That means if either partner doesn't send in the card, they're no longer married. How easy it is. Well, of course, it's not true. But it was a system. It was an idea. If you're really committed to your partner, you have to learn to love them during all the times, including through their irritability. Now, that doesn't mean you have to take abuse. That doesn't mean that. But it means you have to accept that as part of them. Just as you have to accept them snoring sometimes and sometimes drippy noses and whatever else that they may have and some of their funny smells. But loving somebody is kind of going through the whole thing with them. Irritability, we don't like it when we have it. What about you? 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Karen.
Hello, Karen.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening to you for, I guess, about over a year now, and I think you have such interesting topics, and I also think you have a very sexy voice.
Thank you for my sexy voice. I'm not sure if I should thank cigarettes for that.
Oh, you smoke?
What I did when I was way back when. So somewhere along the line. But I guess I always had a deep voice. And then it got raspier and raspier. And then it got to this point where they call it the damaged sound.
Oh.
But it is kind of nice, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You should see if I hail a taxi. People know who I am. They say, I know who you are. You're the guy on the radio.
I looked you up on the computer, but the picture doesn't really show your whole face, or it's sort of from the side angle.
Oh, you have to look at different there. If you keep going through the website, you'll see a whole bunch of different photos.
Oh, okay. And I, like I said, I enjoy your programs, and it's interesting because I think each item you just talked about, I actually experienced today. I had a fly in my car for about an hour as I'm driving, and it irritated me. Finally, he got out a few minutes ago, and I also have I'm a caretaker of a gentleman that I'm in a relationship with. He has a little physical problem, and I would say I'm a caretaker about 75% of the time. So I do get stressed out also, and I try to find ways to de-stress myself, and sometimes it's difficult because I also work still, full time. So it's not easy sometimes,
It's not easy being a giver all the time and not being given to,
Exactly.
Have you and your man gone on vacation anywhere?
I would say not in the last 2 years, no.
You need one, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
So what's wrong? Why is he, can he move? Can he travel?
Yes, he can travel. It's just that he's, he's been acclimated to a different environment because he has to go for physical therapy and things like that. Uh-huh. He has some problems with knees and, it's difficult when you have knee trouble and, it's hard to walk sometimes. So.
No, I understand. Yeah. But sometimes you just got to be able to get away, not for his sake. But he has to understand that part of what lubricates him in life is you.
Yeah.
You see, he has to understand and appreciate that you need this as well. So not that it's a giant sacrifice for him, but he needs you to be feeling as well as you could feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where his appreciation of you would show. So maybe that's worth a discussion.
Yes, and I also must say that he's about 25 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
So, but we've been in a relationship for about 14 years now.
And it sounds like you love him a lot.
Oh, I do. I sacrificed a lot, and sometimes you have to just let other things go, and you have to just dedicate yourself to the relationship to keep.
Well,
it,
yes, but as well, don't. Don't expect, Karen, you sometimes have to teach him that you really appreciate it going two ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
when you get home tonight, turn on this, when you see him, go to my website, play the archives, and play this program. Mm-hmm. And show him where you spoke and what you spoke about and let him hear you.
Yes.
Because it's all tenderness and love that's coming from you. But it does fatigue you, and it gets you so irritable that sometimes when a fly wants to take a ride in your car, you get angry at them.
Yes.
But he's only a fly, and he only wanted to get a ride.
Yeah.
So where did you take him from, too?
Pardon me?
Where did you take your fly from, too?
I actually had to babysit today for my new year-and-a-half-old granddaughter. So on the way back, I noticed there was a fly clinging to the window, And so from Long Island, Nassau County to Queens, where I live, I had the fly with me. But I actually didn't notice it until about 20 minutes ago, and I had a, you know, I had a few chores to do.
So imagine Mr. Fly's new adventure. Thanks to you, he got in an air-conditioned car, took a trip, and thanks to you, he's now in a new neighborhood.
Yes, thankfully he flew out the window.
I hope he makes some friends. Thanks for calling in, Karen.
It's a pleasure talking to you and listening to you. You have a lot of interesting topics.
Thank you. Be sure to send us one of those emails telling us what you think of the program.
Thank you.
Sure, bye-bye.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ernie.
Hi, Arnie.
Hi. Yeah, I also find you very interesting. You're probably the only program I tune into.
Hey, Ernie, what a compliment. The only program you tune into.
Well, you know what grabbed me? It was a couple of weeks ago. I was going through the channel, and you're talking about alcoholism.
Yeah.
And I'm a recovering alcoholic, so there was a topic that interested me, and I've been listening every day. But
how long have you been dry?
What's today? The 9th?
Yeah.
The 15th will be 3 years.
Wow. Ernie. Yeah. What a job that was.
Well, it was a long road getting there, and a lot of battling with my addictions and alcoholism throughout my life. But I think this time around, I finally gave up and gave myself to a different way, and it's been working great. My life has completely changed and different, and I have a beautiful son now, and I have a good business, and my life is a lot different. But the weather thing, talking about reminded me of something I wanted to share. In my early 20s, when I was in trouble legally as a direct result of my addictions, I spent some time incarcerated, 5 years. And at one point, I was in the hole for 5 months. And the facility that I was in, there was no sunlight at all. It was like a dungeon. And I was in there for 5 straight months, and when I finally got taken out to a different facility and got put back into the sunlight again, there was a dramatic difference in my behavior, my thinking, overall, all around, even appetite. And so, when you were talking about the weather affecting
you. Talk to me about that a little bit. You're saying being in solitary, right? You're in the hole and you're in solitary.
Right.
And there's no sunlight, and you're in a small room, 5 months, 5 months of no sunlight.
Right.
Not even a minute to see the sun?
No, the particular facility that I was in, it was a federal detention center. And it was actually right around the time of 9/11, when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the arrests that they made immediately following that, they kind of shut the facility down and segregated everything and had all these guys, all these suspects in one area that we were in where you could get an hour of sunlight a day.
Mm.
And the place they put us in, they kind of reopened it, I guess. And you don't, they give you an hour outside of your cell every day, which is legally what they're supposed to do. But they just put us into, like, one bigger cell. There was never any sunlight that came in.
I see it.
The cell that I was in didn't have any windows.
Okay, so now without sunlight for 5 months.
Right.
You say when you got out, you changed. What changed?
I felt a big difference in my behavior. I wasn't as depressed. I started to get more and more depressed as time went on in that period there. But immediately, I just felt more energetic, almost immediately. The facility they brought me to, and I was out in the sunlight, and I got energy back. My thinking was a lot more clear, and I wasn't as depressed as I felt.
So there's something positive about the 5 months that you spent.
Oh, sure.
In that hole, something positive about it.
Sure.
Somehow it worked for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever heard that, and I'm so glad to hear it. So in other words, so what it did for you is whatever was chemically necessary, for you to adjust inside your body and inside your mind, you found that place in the hole. And when you came out, you were more at peace.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. And it was just, you know, there's something about the sun. Even, you know, I'm personally, I love stormy, rainy days. I'm more energetic. I get more done. I get through my days a lot better on a dark, cloudy, rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, than I do on sunny days.
Ernie, you sound like a very interesting man and a man who has gone a long distance. And I thank you for joining my listening audience.
Because, well, I thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're great. You're great. Keep me posted.
You. I will.
Thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. You learn something new every day. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi there.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
So happy I got through.
So glad you got through.
This is Patricia.
Go ahead, Patricia.
I emailed you a while back. I don't know if you remember. Tired in New Jersey.
Go ahead. Keep going. I think it was somewhere it's familiar.
You had a program very similar to this one a little while back about irritability and how you treat your partners. And I just found it very interesting, and I identified with a lot of what you were saying on the program. So I just wanted to call in and tell you that I appreciated that.
Well, how has it changed you? How has the knowledge changed you?
Well, it's helped me to sort of clarify, you know, some things. I mean, I was listening to your other caller and what you were saying about how if you're married and you have a partner and you're in the relationship, you have to make a decision to accept the person for who they are. And I guess I'm one of those wives that is accepting my partner for who they are.
You're accepting your partner for who he is?
Right.
And what is he that you have such difficulty accepting?
Well, you know, there are moments where he's extremely irritable and to the point where, and I think it's more of an internal thing because he gets real silent and he gets real into himself and non-communicative and it's sort of like, it's sort of like a storm that you have to wait for it to pass.
Okay. And what's the best thing that he likes during that period of time?
To be left alone.
To be left completely alone, right?
Pretty much.
And does he like to watch television?
Yes, he watches TV. He does a lot of things in solitude on the computer, reads books.
And he just wants to be not bothered. Now, here's what's happening. It isn't that he wants to be left alone. It's that he's afraid of invasion. You see, irritability is fear. Irritability means I'm afraid you're going to hurt me, so I got to shove you away faster than you can get near me. So irritability is, it's about the content of what's coming towards you. I have a friend who gets irritable, and when she gets irritable, I know that if I had a kitten nearby, her irritability would disappear. Put a kitten in front of her, and all of a sudden she'd be, oh, and she'd talk like a kitten in front of it. So it's really about the invasion. So the real question is, what would your husband welcome not as an invasion? What would be right? What would be decent? Like, what if you brought him a dessert that he loves? You know, what if you said, here's some rice pudding? Does he like rice pudding?
Well, yeah, I mean, he likes to be cooked for in general. I think most men do.
No, but I mean a particular thing. What if you brought him something and left it there for him, and he just went away one day? You know?
That's an interesting concept.
It is interesting concept. Not asking for anything in return.
Right, but we also have two children, so they like attention as well.
Uh-huh. I understand, and that's why he closes down. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for calling in, Patricia.
Thank you.
Sure. We have to be going. This is Armand DeMille. So finally, for the last time, I'm going to ask you, do send me some comments about the program, The Positive Mind. We're doing a survey this week, and we will be back with you soon. Next week, Tuesday at 1 p.m. Between now and then, best to all of you.